Hi, everybody, and we are continuing with the Rays and Initiations webinar commentaries, number 52, and we're in the second part of the book where we have recently done about 18 of these, or 17 or 18, and the total number, of course, after this one will be 52. We've reached a point of summary. We're talking about various types of ascension that work throughout the human kingdom and really in relation to all forms of life. And he says we are summing up humanity's great approach and the sons of God who have been assisting that approach throughout the ages. We learned of Vyasa, a very interesting, back in Lemurian times, making possible the transition from animal man into the human stage on this planet. Of course, there have been human beings on the moonshine, and many of the current disciples are that, and some human beings in the previous solar system, and some are that as well, and the methods of individualization were different. So anyway, what DK is saying here, to sum up, we have carried our study of the esoteric aspects of mental unfoldment to a point where we have lifted the entire spiritual man into realms which are neither those of the soul nor of the personality. Now, you know, we are putting the minds, the aspects of mind together and uniting them and lifting them into the lifting our mental focus into the area of the transcendental mind, and even into the nirvanic mind of the atmic plane. So they are those which make him an integral part of monadic experience. Let's see, to a point where we have lifted into realms, the realms into which we have been lifted by these particular instructions, make him an integral part of the monadic experience, which really is not only of the monadic plane, but all experiences in the lower three worlds, and that would be a good one to put in, lower three worlds. are really monadic experiences. Are really, I call them attenuated monadic experiences. Okay. I think EXP would be a good one too, don't you? Experience. And EXPS, obviously, plurals are needed, and we will go to experiences. Okay. We are therefore dealing definitely with initiate experience, and DK has told us that this entire book, in a way, is written for initiates of the third degree, and especially the last eight rules. Only initiates really can understand them. Maybe the first seven rules can be somewhat understood by those who are applying in group form towards the initiate experience and are initiates of the threshold, as it is called. That the personality remains as an instrument or vehicle of expression for the one universal soul in its many personality aspects upon the physical plane has been duly emphasized. At least for the first degree, personality remains. In the fourth degree and afterwards, personality may be a MVR, Maya Virupa. Okay, that the soul per se has been lost to consciousness in the sea of universal realization has also been made clear. In other words, our individuality Okay, individuality. Let's see if we got that. Yet? No, we don't. So we're going to have that as well, INDT. And that will be our individuality. The soul per se, meaning, I'll call it that stage of monadic consciousness, which is functioning through the higher mental matter gathered on the second and third subplanes of the higher mental plane. Anyway, that the soul per se, in the soul in the egoic lotus, consciousness in the egoic lotus with its individual limitations, has been lost to consciousness in the sea of universal realization, has also been made clear. I love that expression, the sea of universal realization. Well, you know, if we have increasing realization of the nature of the solar system, it is in a way universal realization, because the solar system is sometimes called a universe, and galaxies are called island universes. So not all the time that the term universe and universal are used does it represent the grand entirety of all that is in objective manifestation. And by objective, I mean that which is outside the range of the absolute, although nothing really can be, but that which has been extruded from the absolute and which has demonstrated as an aspect of the absolute. That the state of being which the initiate has now reached as a result of the six stages of conscious building of the antikarana, I mean, maybe for some people, a kind of antikarana is unconsciously built over a much longer time, has been detailed. We might say that some build the antikarana unconsciously, CNSL, okay, unconsciously. I wonder, oh, well, it's hardly worth doing, is it? But let's see, UNCNSL, unconsciously, UNCONL, oh, okay, we've got it already. CONL, that some build the antikarana unconsciously over many, many years, more than it would take for an applied occult method. But I've pointed out in this connection that what has transpired lies beyond what we call consciousness. Well, you know, consciousness is universal in the absolute sense. It's throughout the entire universe. But we have a limited view of what is consciousness, and it usually involves subject and object, and is consequently undefinable by the human intellect. So the state of being that the initiate has now reached has been detailed. He's reached it through fulfilling the six stages of consciously building the antikarana. And DK has pointed out in this connection that what has transpired lies beyond what we normally call consciousness. Consciousness as we know it, but consciousness with a capital C or all in caps is a much bigger thing, and is consequently undefinable by the human intellect, although greater intellects than ours, I think, can define it. We have dealt with certain high stages of unfoldment which remain impossible for any human comprehension outside of those, capital T, who can function in the course of Shambhala. So we are approaching in these instructions the realizations of Shambhalic consciousness or awareness, as it is sometimes called. We have to be careful, you know, consciousness is a term abrogated when it is suffering from the limitations of human limitations. But we also have to realize, DK talks about the consciousness of the planetary logos and the consciousness of the solar logos and, you know, and beyond, of course. So that term cannot be thrown away And we cannot be told we are done with consciousness once we begin to enter the higher realms of our energy system, whither the techniques lead. We are only dispensing with consciousness as the normal human being knows it, and have entered a stage of consciousness or awareness which is not subject to the limitations of the average human intellect. When these stages have been passed, then the goal of all evolutionary processes has been reached as far as humanity is concerned. You know, the individual has entered the courts of Shambhala, or has reached their equivalent in other ways. Okay. Equiv, I think that'd be a good one. EQUIV. Equivalent. EQUIVALENT. And equivalence, well, EQUIVC, equivalence. Equivalence, okay. One day we will all have these. Equivalence, pulled equally in either direction. These concepts cover our presentation of truth and our theme up to the present point. Further we cannot go, for it would be profitless. And, you know, there's 10,000 things DK could discuss that we could not assimilate, nor would the human constitution prove adequate to the imposed task, even if one tried to impose the task. So DK remains practical, even though there would be many more things of interest to discuss, but that would be a waste of time, really, because we are meant to help change the world more towards the reflection of the archetype in the world of being, and why just talk about delightful things which have no possibility of working out on the physical plane, or if not of working out, but at least stimulating physical plane process or personality planes, processes, or soul planes, processes in such a way that some beneficent change can occur. I have in these previous sections carried our theme to the point where it climaxes all that has been given out, hithero been given out anent the human mind and its capabilities. Oh, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? You know, how far can we go? Some people are satisfied with fancy and with estimations of things which lie are distortions of the real, but not here. The theme to the point where it climaxes all that has been hitherto given out anent the human mind and its capabilities, the human mind especially, maybe how much has been spoken of buddhi or of atma, maybe not so much, but at least the mind is the focus of that which we call man or manas at present. I've indicated the method whereby the mind, trained in meditation and therefore soul conscious, and that is the first step to be conscious of the soul, can, through the construction of the antikarana, it's an interior imaginative construction, reach heights and stages of inclusiveness which will introduce it to certain aspects of the so-called universal mind. Well, this is perhaps beyond Atma. Sometimes we can say that Atma is the lowest expression of the universal mind, being found on the third cosmic physical subplane. But, you know, the Buddha touched something much higher than that. But even if we did touch Atma, it would already be in line with the cosmic mental plane from numerical resonance. So, you know, it's very important for a teacher, you know, to tell you what he's going to do, then to do it, and then to tell you what he's done. Maybe when making a speech, it's the same, to help the fallible human brain and mind record and retain what has been given. So he's given the method whereby the mind trained in meditation and therefore capable of some degree of standing steady in the light of the soul can, through the construction of the Antikarana, a scientific, let's remind ourselves, interior process, reach heights, vibratory heights, and stages of inclusiveness, and that's really important, you know, stages of inclusiveness. We might say that each superior plane gives a more inclusive realization than the one foregoing, or previous, the one, let's say, previous, and which will introduce to it certain aspects of the so-called universal mind. I don't know if he's ever been specific about that. Sometimes it's the mind of the solar logos, sometimes it's the mind of the planetary logos. The true universal mind, the true universal mind, UNM. Well, let's get that in there. UNM. UNM. And that will be the true universal mind lies on the cosmic mental plane. And maybe for the, for the planetary logos, it might be the lower levels of the cosmic mental plane, and for the solar logos, the higher levels, because the solar logos is more developed that way. I mean, think of an initiate of the first degree who's a human being. How much does he reach of the higher mental plane? Well, maybe as an initiate of the first degree, a little bit, but he's mostly focused in the lower four subplanes. And maybe that's true of a non-sacred logos like our planetary logos, who has not yet taken the second cosmic initiation, whereas the solar logos has, that the planetary logos is still focused on the lower four levels of the cosmic mental plane, and the solar logos has penetrated further into the higher mental levels. Okay, those are just words, speculations, but give us an idea, because excuse me, our solar logos is working on cosmic mind now and is attempting to become a transfigured universal, transfigured cosmic initiate in the same way that the logos of the star Sirius is. Okay, the mind of God, as it is familiarly called. So that, well, that gives us a hint. This, how about that? Why doesn't that work out? Let me just get one of my brackets back, because it's important. I think what I'm going to say here is important. This gives us a hint about the great GI. Okay, and that's another one we want, and we're going to call that, I'll bet you'll know, great invocation. Gives us a hint from the point of light within the mind of God about the great invocation. What then is that point of light within the mind of God? Okay. M-O-G, and that's the mind of God. What is it? And is the mind of God on the cosmic planes? So from that perspective, from the point of light within the mind of God, the mind of God as it is familiarly called, we're talking about taking the great invocation from a very high source. We're maybe talking about it, the mind of God of the planetary logos, the mind of the planetary logos, and maybe beyond of the solar logos. So DK is summarizing for us all these good things so that we can fix them in our brain, fix them in our mind, and then, you know, hold them in our brain. There's much in the mind that's not yet in the brain. What I have really done is to deal very briefly with the mode whereby the disciple or the initiate can, with increasing power, tune in on the mind of the planetary logos Sanat Kumara. Well, you know, the Sanat Kumara is an extension of what we call the planetary logos, but in a way he is the planetary logos. He is that aspect of the planetary logos presides at the fifth initiation, the fourth, and the third. A still higher aspect of the planetary logos presides at the sixth initiation. We're not told what the name of that emanation is, that particular being. And then the planetary logos in its entirety, maybe in a non-emanated state, presides at the seventh initiation. Well, these are, you know, way beyond our ken, when we can barely imagine what it's like to stand before the Christ in the interior chamber for the first two initiations. But, it, you know, at least it gives a continuing structure that we can think about and realize that we will meet ever greater intensities of life, love, and intelligence on our initiatory path. So what I've really done is deal with the mode whereby the disciple can, with increasing power, tune in on the mind of Sanat Kumara. And we might say all this depends on the building of the Antikarana. It's such a, you know, it seems like such an abstract and abstruse process, but without it, we just don't reach those heights that we are intended to reach, those levels of higher vibration which open up the inner worlds and give us a far more inclusive and participatory realization. Okay, just as the disciple can, when soul conscious, tune in on the mind of his master, and you might say the disciple is then an aspect of the ashram. Okay, and there's another one. I just didn't realize how many I had. And I suppose there should be one that gives us the plural, ashrams, ashrama. Okay, just as the disciple, who's not yet the initiate, can tune in on the mind of his master, you know, he's standing on the periphery of the ashram or within it. So the initiate, upon a higher turn of the spiral, and at least beyond the third degree, third initiation, can register the thoughts of the divine being in whom we all live and move and have our being. Well, you would have to be a quite high initiate to do that, to tune in on the mind of Sanat Kumara, a higher member of hierarchy. Maybe a master can do this to some extent, and a Chohan more easily. And that's one of the words we want to preserve, isn't it? Chohan. So we'll add it to the dictionary. Through the development of the Antikarana and its conscious scientific use. You know, there's nothing vague and mystical and happenstance about this. The initiate can become aware of what transpires in the council chambers of Shambhala. Well, you know, you wonder, is this only true for the master? I mean, though even at the fourth degree, the monad is accessed more directly, and hence Shambhala. But at the sixth degree, one is a kind of resident of some aspect of Shambhala, though not necessarily the council. Okay, so he can then efficiently begin to work as an exponent of the will aspect of divinity. Well, seems like one would have to be a six-degree initiate. Okay, SXDI, and we're going to call that six-degree initiate. Like the Christ, to do this. But even though a master cannot yet walk with impunity into the courts of Shambhala, probably there is some degree of reception to that which Sanatkumara intends. Well, those are higher matters, and we can't know with fullness. The master is still technically a human being, you know. The master is TQL, technically a human being, and the Chohan is beyond that stage, as we are told, I think in the Honorable Vlaga Manasar, the Masters, it's either Rule 6 or Rule 7, TQL. So we'll call that technically. All right. Yet all this time, we have confined ourselves entirely to the consideration of the mind aspect in its three phases upon the mental plane, and with their extension into states of being unknown to all except trained disciples and initiates. Okay, does this mean that our elevation of the mind stops at some point? For instance, the mental permanent atom, or the transcendental mind of Buddhi, perhaps. For instance, F-O-R-E, okay, for instance, right. So we've confined ourselves to a mental operation. We really can't do anything else. We cannot manipulate Buddhic energy. We can receive Buddhic energy, but not manipulate it yet. Maybe the masters can do that, because they are focused on the Buddhic and atmic planes. And we are only recipients of those energies when we have done the proper preparatory work. It has been my intention thus to give a theoretical, though not yet practical, insight into the modes of activity and possible states of being to which you can someday aspire and eventually attain when you become a master and focus normally on the Buddhic plane, BDP. And we'll call that BUD, and and on the ethic way. Well, this is not for us yet. You know, we're going to do well to focus on the higher mental plane and to be able to enter the consciousness of our accumulations in the causal body, and eventually to enter the realm of the abstract mind. I think, you know, I don't think Einstein and his type ever built the Antikorana consciously in an occult way, but he and others certainly penetrated into the abstract mind and probably into the realm of the intuition, because the Antikorana, while now being built consciously, has been being built all along in a much slower way through the power to think abstractly. That's the, you know, sort of the other triangle that we find. There we go. Notice this triangle that is the Antikorana, and from the point of the center of the egoic lotus, or somewhere in the egoic lotus, to the monastic permanent atom, this is the mode of building the Antikorana through the power of abstract thought until we reach the mental permanent atom, which is the seed of the developing abstract mental vehicle, which I suppose would remain after the egoic lotus, which is an expression of higher mind, has been dissipated. So some sort of abstract mentality remains, especially for those who have the strong third ray. Maybe others find it just cumbersome. Well, okay, what shall I say here? We're about ready to start something called the meaning of the initiatory process. And even though we have only been about a half hour or a little more into this particular program, what I'd like to do, if I can permit myself to do it, is to end this now, so we can really begin in a new unit. I call this the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 52, pages up to 529, and probably 529 and beginning. I think it's 528. 528. And this day being the 29th of January. And then beginning this entirely new section of Raised and Initiations Webinar Commentary number 53 and page 529 to something. And we don't know yet what that will be. I didn't expect to be so short about this, but I think it's better to keep our study somewhat focused. And so that is what we will do. And I trust that it will be okay with you having a little shorter unit to study, more like 33 or 34 minutes instead of the whole hour. Okay, we'll see you then for number 53 before long. Okay, bye-bye.